A toy teapot clinks against a teacup at a doll's tea party. A teacup is held to the lips of a rag doll and then a porcelain doll. The tea party is being conducted by three little girls in Edwardian dress in an attic playroom. One of the girls brushes a doll's hair, another puts a baby doll in a cot. Smiling, the girls pour more imaginary tea for the dolls. In unison, they all look up from their play at something or someone at the back of the room. The girls turn their attention to the windows at the end of the room. They rise to their feet. One of them drops a teacup, which breaks. As they walk towards the window, they trample the teapot and the porcelain doll underfoot, breaking them both. As if in a trance, the girls step up to the windows and open them. As one, they climb up onto the window ledge and throw themselves out. A doll stares sightlessly. A man of about 30 stands staring at his reflection in a mirror. He looks agitated and holds a cutthroat razor under his chin. He puts the razor down and dabs at his face with a towel. A woman appears behind him, reflected in the mirror.
Arthur.
He looks up and turns around to face the woman. There's no one there. Arthur looks shaken, then picks up some papers lying on a bed and puts them into an open suitcase, also resting on the bed.
Daddy! Coming!
He shakes a hip flask, then packs it in the bag. The papers are bills. One of them is stamped overdue. He joins his son Joseph, who's drawn a picture calendar. Tuesday depicts Arthur leaving on a trip.
Do you like it, Daddy?
Very much.
You didn't look at it properly.
Of course I did.
That's me. That's Nanny. That's Mummy. That's you.
Mummy is in heaven.
Why do I look so sad?
That's what your face looks like.
Oh, it is it?
I wish you didn't have to go away from me.
Me too. But we'll have the whole weekend in the countryside, won't we? See? Tomorrow. Then Thursday. And then we're back together. Not long at all.
In the foggy street, Arthur says farewell to Joseph as Nanny looks on.
You look just like your mother. Have you got the train tickets?
Yes, we've got the train tickets.
And you know all the times?
Yes, we know the times.
OK, I've got to go. Don't want to be late.
Go, we'll be fine. We'll see you Friday.
See you.
Wave bye-bye.
Nanny and Joseph wave Arthur off as he hurries away. Arthur is with Mr. Bentley, his boss. Mr. Bentley trims a cigar.
I know you've had it rough, Kipps, and I'm sympathetic to your situation. But we can't carry passengers. We're a law firm, not a charity.
Arthur nods.
Good. I take it Tomes has briefed you on Mrs. Alice Drablow of Eel Marsh House.
Died last month.
Years since I went there, of course. The old widow didn't greatly care for visitors.
No children?
A boy died young many years ago. I'll let you have the details to read on your journey, but principally you're going to go through Mrs. Drablow's documents.
Make sure we've got her final will. There's a mountain of paperwork at the house. It all needs to be gone through, every page.
Very good.
We've been dealing with a local man, Jerome, but he's not really been cooperating. What I'm hoping, Kipps, is that you'll seize this chance to prove your dedication to pursuing a future with this firm. This is your final warning.
Thank you.
A steam train rattles along a track in bright sunshine. In one of the carriages, Arthur sits in a window seat reading a newspaper. He reads an advertisement. As endorsed by Arthur Conan Doyle, contact the spirit world, seance, the world-renowned Mrs. Wynne, medium. Arthur looks up and stares off out of the window. In flashback, Arthur paces anxiously outside a bedroom. He stops pacing and looks at the bedroom door. It starts to swing open. In the present, he stands on a railway platform as a train departs. He looks over at a family being reunited. He watches a little enviously as they go off happily together. He spots a notice. Last train to the northeast, 9 p.m. It's raining heavily as he sits on the gloomy platform waiting for the last train. He checks his pocket watch, which has a picture of his late wife, Stella, inside it. It's nearly 9 o'clock. Now aboard the late train, Arthur sits alone, staring out of the window into the night. His eyelids droop and he nods off. In flashback, he talks to the doctor and the nurse.
Mr. Kipps.
The nurse steps forward, holding a baby.
It's a boy.
The nurse hands the infant over to Arthur, who cradles him in his arms. The doctor regards Arthur with a troubled expression.
I'm very sorry, Mr. Kipps.
The doctor walks back over to the bed, revealing Stella's ashen grey, lifeless body lying in the bed. Arthur's face falls. Blood from childbirth stains the sheets. The doctor pulls the sheet up to cover Stella's face. In the train, Arthur wakes up and sees a stern-looking man with a dog staring at him from the seat opposite.
Have we passed Griffin Gifford yet?
Next stop.
The man looks at his newspaper for a moment, then puts it down.
So, you're from London?
I am.
Trying to sell Eel Marsh House.
Arthur looks down awkwardly.
You won't find a local buyer.
Arthur stares at the man, then glances out of the window.
He's down at the Gifford Arms?
Yes.
It's a bit of a walk from the station. I can give you a lift. It's on my way home.
Thank you.
Samuel Daly.
They shake hands.
Arthur Kipps.
Beautiful car, Mr. Daly.
First one in the county. Still scares the locals. Here we are.
Well, thank you. Very good to talk to you, Mr. Daly.
Mr. Daly lets Arthur out of his Rolls-Royce.
Mr. Kipps, would you like to have supper with my wife and me tomorrow evening? You know, we don't get to see many new faces here. Besides, the food in there, reckon even the dog wouldn't eat it.
That'd be lovely. Thank you.
Right.
Arthur hurries into the Gifford Arms to get out of the pouring rain as Mr. Daly drives off. He talks to the landlord.
Good evening. I have a room booked until Sunday. Mr. Kipps.
The landlord, Mr. Fisher, looks blank and checks the ledger.
No, I'm not finding any booking.
My officer telegraphed ahead.
Well, we're back to the rafters.
He looks round as the landlady comes in.
Evening.
Good evening.
We're just telling Mr. Kipps that we don't have any room.
Well, we can't have him out in this weather, can we? Not in the rain. We must have something, just for tonight.
We don't. Unless you want to put him in the attic.
Fine.
Mrs. Fisher turns to Arthur.
It's this way.
Arthur picks his bag up and follows her out of the bar, leaving Mr. Fisher looking troubled. Arthur follows Mrs. Fisher up the stairs.
Actually, I was hoping to stay till the weekend. My son and his nanny are travelling up to join me.
Oh, I see.
She puts a basket of laundry down.
If an holiday is what you're after, sir, you'd honestly be better off further inland. It gets awfully cold here, what with the sea mists.
Sea mist.
A minor bird.
It's this way.
Clutching a hurricane lamp, she leads him up a narrow, winding flight of stairs. She unlocks a door at the top.
How old is your son?
He's 4.
Lovely age.
She opens the door to a bleak attic room. It's the one that the 3 little girls had their tea party in. The windows they jump from look out into the rainy night.
Thank you.
He steps past her into the room. She watches him with concern, then closes the door and lingers for a moment. Arthur sits on the bed and looks at the photo of Stella in his pocket watch.
Good night.
He puts the watch down on a table beside the now faded porcelain doll with the broken head. Looking around the room, he notices two framed photos of the three little girls. In one, the Fishers are with them. Nearby, Arthur sees one of the girls' other dolls staring wide-eyed in the darkness. He walks over to the windows and looks out into the night, then draws the curtains.